Hello, and welcome to the PubK Compliance News Podcast. This is Bill Olver, Managing Editor of the PubK Group of Legal Publications for the Government Contracting Community. Every morning, PubK Compliance captures the latest news and opinion on Government False Claims Act cases, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act enforcement, and related legal issues. Every 2 weeks on this podcast, we'll recap the top headlines from our daily news. During a presentation at the American Bar Association's White Collar Conference, top DOJ officials suggested prosecutors may consult the FCPA and corporate enforcement policy for guidance on whether a company's self-reporting and remediation measures may justify declination for matters other than FCPA enforcement. During their remarks, the officials said that DOJ intends to reward self-disclosure, full cooperation, and timely and appropriate remediation by declining to bring cases against companies investigated for criminal violations other than the FCPA. Senators Claire McCaskill and Ron Wyden have asked the National Nuclear Security Administration to respond to whistleblower allegations that the government reimbursed over $24 million to Lawrence Livermore National Security for legal costs related to whistleblower litigation. Agencies are prohibited from reimbursing contractors for legal costs if the contractor is found to have retaliated against a whistleblower or to have taken other prohibited actions. The American Bar Association has released a new book exploring the relationship between federal procurement and the False Claims Act. The False Claims Act and Government Contracts book takes an in-depth look at the regulated nature of government contracting and examines how possible modifications to the FCA may have the potential to improve compliance and reduce costs. In recent SEC filings, Exterran Corporation and Teradata Corporation announced the SEC and Department of Justice had ended investigations into separate FCPA allegations. They join at least four other firms who have announced declinations so far in 2018. In a recent interview with FCPA professor, BakerBots's Michael Goldberg discusses the FCPA enforcement action against Cobalt International Energy, which it refused to settle. Goldberg talks about his client's FCPA scrutiny, the reason his client refused to settle, the negative effects Cobalt experienced even though it prevailed, and how the world of investigations is broken and who shares the blame. Not so fortunate, the University of North Texas will pay more than $13 million based on its self-reported failure to accurately measure, track, and pay researchers in relation to federally sponsored research. This is one of the larger settlements for an accurate federal grant effort reporting, and might have been larger had it been based upon a key TAM investigation rather than a self-report by the university. In an interview with Compliance and Ethics blog, Charlie Shug, a retired Air Force Brigadier General and now a partner at cybersecurity firm Silent, shares how the military has made compliance and ethics a part of training and day-to-day life. He also discusses the importance of creating the right code of conduct and core values and learning from ethics and compliance failures. In a recent discovery dispute, a U.S. District Court in Miami compelled a law firm to produce an investigation it had performed for a client. According to the court, the corporate internal investigation work product attorney-client privilege was waived because the court found the attorneys had given the government an oral download of witness interview notes and memoranda that came from the company's executive team and other employees. The Department of Justice has named a private equity firm as a co-defendant in a False Claims Act complaint along with one of its portfolio companies. Prosecutors allege that the portfolio company paid illegal kickbacks related to compound drug prescriptions reimbursed by TRICARE, in an effort to increase its return on investment. The inclusion of a private equity firm as a defendant could signal DOJ's intention to hold private equity sponsors accountable for the noncompliance of their portfolio companies. In international news, the Canadian government is seriously considering introducing a regime of deferred prosecution agreements for corporate and white-collar offenders. While there has been little formal policy or support for DPAs, last year the government conducted a public consultation to seek input on potential enhancements to the integrity regime and on a possible Canadian DPA regime. The European Investment Bank recently published its updated exclusion policy, which reflects the bank's zero-tolerance policy for fraud and corruption. In addition to sanctioning common prohibited practices such as bribery and corruption, the policy says the bank may choose to exclude companies found to have financed terrorism or engaged in money laundering. The World Bank has debarred PAC Electron Limited and its affiliates, PEL Marketing Limited and Cohenor Power Company Limited, and a former general manager of the firm for engaging in collusive practices when it bid on contracts in Pakistan under a World Bank-financed project. The companies and the former employee have been debarred for 33 months. India's Ministry of Defense has created a new organizational approach to categorize defense companies alleged or found to be involved in corruption. Under the new approach, firms may be categorized as debarred, suspended, or restricted procurement. Debarred companies, those who have previously been found corrupt, will be unable to do business in India. Firms undergoing a corruption inquiry will be listed as suspended. Firms whose reputations have been damaged by allegations of corruption but who provide essential equipment or services to the military will be listed as restricted procurement. And finally, the Chinese government has disciplined more than 4,000 officials as part of an anti-graft initiative, an increase of 45% from the same period last year. This increase follows more than 7,000 actions in December, which was a monthly record. According to the government office in charge of sanctions, about three-quarters received only light discipline, and the majority remain party members. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find the links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubK Compliance page where you listen to this podcast. Hope you enjoyed the presentation. Join us again in 2 weeks for the next edition of the Compliance News Podcast.